All right. So we're talking about growing in communion and communication with God, growing in a relationship. And he basically prophesied the gist of this weekend. He promised that he will meet everyone where they're at, wherever they're at. By the way, brother, thank you for praying me. My voice is better today.
All right.
Hallelujah. So he told me he wants to meet everyone wherever they're at and take them to a deeper level. I'm going to share a vision or a dream. I don't know if it was a vision or a dream that someone had last night. I think it bears witness to what God is saying. They were swimming in the ocean of God. And there was people like fish swimming in that ocean, swimming in the presence of God. But there were some people who were still in their boats. And they were kind of afraid to jump out of the boat and go swimming. There were also some people who were in the boats who were... They wanted to jump in, but they wanted to bring all their stuff. And of course, that would just weigh you down. You can't swim well with a lot of stuff. And I felt like the Lord is saying something to us today. I woke up, and the first thing I saw was a picture of an old-fashioned storm door like they had about 45, 50 years ago. It was like the metal kind with the kind of not real glass, kind of that plastic glass. You know, if there's kids in the house, they'll always have little fingerprints on them. And I saw this, but through the top glass, I could see the sun, but because it was through this glass, you could kind of see a haze. You couldn't really, you know, go out and play in the sun like a little kid would. And I asked the Lord, what are you showing me, God? And I felt like he was showing me that today, and I believe this morning, later on we're gonna pray into this at the end of when I talk. We're going to have a little Holy Ghost session where we pray into this. And this isn't for everybody, because some people have already broken some of the barriers. But for some people, there's still a little bit of a barrier or a door, something that keeps you from going into God's presence fully. And it can be anything. It can be fear, can be doubt or worry about, oh, maybe I'm not accepted by God. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he doesn't want me to. Whatever that is, what we're going to do is we're going to ask him. And each person is going to ask God, do I have any barriers? And I want you to show me what the barriers that keeps me from going to the next place. And then once he reveals it, you don't have to share it with anybody if you don't want. But then what we're going to do is we're going to break those barriers and ask God to remove them completely so we can move fully into the next step. Hallelujah. All right, so God has been talking to me about that he wants to bring all of us into greater growth in communion and communication with God. Remember last night we were talking about as a natural baby grows, and when they're first born, they don't see properly, but their eyes come into focus, and then eventually their ears begin to hear, and they begin to, maybe they turn over for the first time, they crawl for the first time. And God was sharing that as you grow in the realm of the Spirit, that's how it happens, kind of one little thing at a time. It's not boom for most people. I have seen some exceptions, but most people just don't overnight suddenly move in at great heights. They grow in a process through relationship. See, for years they preached on the leading of the Spirit, and I couldn't understand why don't people, you know, they hear me, but most people don't get it. And it finally, my lightning fast mind, after about 4 years of that, I realized that a lot of people had issues with relationship with God. And you really can't move into the gifts of the Spirit or leading of the Spirit unless you have a heart relationship with him and you know that you're accepted by God and forgiven by God. If you don't have that, it's very hard to move out into the next thing. And see, for me, because for me, relationship was the first thing I ever learned. I didn't know anything else because I wasn't in church. It was me and God in my little Bible. That was all I had. So God taught me and God mentored me, and he was like my best friend. And I fell in love with Jesus. And so I thought everyone had that. And I didn't understand that a lot of people knew him. They got saved through fear of hell, you know, and somebody told them to, and they wanted to do the right thing, but had no clue in the world how to love their father, relate to him, and talk to him, ask him the questions of your heart. They had no idea how to do that. I thought everyone did. So anyway, as you begin to grow like that baby, God shared last night with us, or shared with me, to share with you that just in the Spirit, when you're born again in the Spirit, though you might be 50 or 40 in the natural, when you're born again, you're still like a baby in the Spirit, and you have to grow in the realm of the Spirit. And you have to come to understand, when you see in the realm of the Spirit, it's not like seeing with your natural eye. So when people want to see a vision, they expect to see it like this or hear like an audible voice. you know, very few people hear audible, to be honest. Now, I hear from God. You know, I have a pretty strong track record of accuracy. There's other people in here, very strong track records. For me, I've never once heard an audible voice. Not ever. Now, God, most of the time, it's the Holy Spirit who lives in me talking to me. And because He's living inside of me, it's a very still, small voice. And sometimes so faint, I wonder, you know, was that Him? There have been times when I almost didn't give somebody a word because it was so faint. Now, Edgar, when he doesn't hear that often, when he hears, it's usually audible. When he sees, it's an open vision as though it's happening right in front of him. Me, I've never had an open vision. Never. My visions are like a little flash in front of your, like in your mind's eye. So soft, I almost think, was that you? You know. Hallelujah. There was a brother that came a few months ago, and I actually wasn't going to give him this word. But, you know, softly God said, building, 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 kept saying building. Finally I said, brother, are you believing for a building? He was a pastor, and he said, yes, I am. I had this little, tiny, and I saw a road. He was from the islands, Caribbean islands, and I saw a road going out of town to the north, about a mile, a building on the right side of the road. And it was so soft, though, that I almost didn't give the word. So I kind of hedged a little, prayed, and you'll hear me a lot of times quietly say, I plead the blood of Jesus. Well, that's my way of testing the spirits. Because the enemy's trying to trick me, he can't cross the blood. So a lot of times I'll plead the blood of Jesus, or I'll test the spirits, make sure it's the Holy Ghost. But it happened again, so I said to him, well, I see this building. It's about a mile north out of town and on the right side of the road. He said, that's the building. That's the building we're asking God for. Well, thank the Lord. I stepped out. Well, I said that to say this. Sometimes it'll be so faint, you'll actually be tempted to think it's not God. It is. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, He is talking to you. You just don't know it. People say, God doesn't talk to me. He does. I promise. He's talking to you. But what happens is you haven't been trained to hear how He talks. Because many times it's so soft. So anyway, he was sharing with me that a lot of times the progression that people have is maybe they'll get, after you're born again, you get spirit-filled and you receive maybe tongues. For me, the next thing was I was hanging out with some spirit-filled believers, and I saw some people that would go into like an intercession or travail. It was beyond tongues. It was almost like it was like they were giving birth, or they were travailing, or there would be an intensity where their voice would get loud. But you could tell it wasn't their flesh. There was like an intensity and a warfare going on, different types of intercession. Well, I wanted that. I really wanted to be used of God, and I desired to be used in that way. And I was listening to a fireball preacher, and she talked about these things, and she said, you know, if you want to experience God, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, just all, you know, a lot, you know, not just a few sentences, but spend a lot of time praying in tongues, because what's happening is you're acclimating yourself to the realm of the Spirit when you speak in tongues. So build yourself up in your most holy faith, speaking, you know, praying in the Spirit. Well, anyway, so I was determined. I went home, and I'm going to break into this intercession. I asked God for it, and I prayed for like 5 hours in tongues, and there was nothing, man. I mean, it was tongues, but no intercession or travail. And I said to the Lord, you know what, Lord? I'm being selfish. I just want it because I want to feel like I'm being used of God. I apologize. I said, listen, I'm happy to have tongues, and if that gets somebody saved, I'll pray in tongues for the rest of my life. If that's going to get somebody born again or change somebody's life or deliver somebody, I'll do it. And instantly I went into travail. God was waiting for the right heart. And sometimes we have to just make sure that we've got it in right order, that it's really about Him and His kingdom, and then all these other things will be added. Then sometimes a person might begin, as you pray in tongues a lot, you might begin to hear a word, and you'll wonder, was that God? Or you might see a little something, was that God? I encourage you, if that happens, if you're just learning in this, you know, I used to go to the church every night. Praise the Lord. I had a church that opened up their doors 3 hours every single night, so you'd come and just pray. Just, it wasn't like a group. You just go, you can walk up and down these aisles and pray and pray. So I lived at the church every night, march up and down, and I didn't hear nothing for a long time. But over time, as my spirit became sensitized to God, and I did it more and more, and He began to give me like one thing. I remember one night, I'm just praying in tongues. Didn't even know what I was praying for in those days when I prayed in tongues. Didn't even know. No clue. I heard the word Jerusalem. I'm like, oh, hallelujah, I'm praying for Jerusalem. All right, let's go. You know, so I prayed for that. Over time, it became more and more frequent. I began to write down. Whatever you give me something, write it down, write it down. And I began to see over time, he would later confirm to me, like I'd see something about someone's life, I'd jot it down, and I'd date it. And I kept a book, and you know, I like to know what works. I kept this prayer log, and I'd write down the date of when I saw things. And I did this for about 2 years, and then I would go back with a different color pen, and I'd date when I saw that thing come to pass, or I saw the confirmation of it. And after about 2 years, every single thing in that book was confirmed. And I realized this stuff works. Praying works. Hearing from God works. God is communicating with us, but we have to learn His ways. His ways are higher than our ways. It's not like we know in the natural. Eventually, that develops into interpreting tongues to where you kind of know what you're praying. The way that I preach came from intercession. I learned how to intercede a lot, and as I grew in knowing what I was praying, then I grew by nature into word of knowledge and prophecy, because I was basically now just flowing that way. But that came from prayer. This is basically, I like to say, our meetings are basically a prayer meeting gone to town, because the move of the Holy Ghost, it comes out of relationship, and relationship is prayer and communication. You'll move into visions. Some of you already have a lot of this, so I know I'm talking to people who already have a lot of stuff, some of you, you know, but not everybody does. You'll move into a knowing. Now, pardon my notes, but I wanted to remind myself. One day I was at work, and I was struggling with an intense, complicated problem that was, those of you who ever know anything about programming, one of the most difficult kinds of programming is called assembler. It's like, it's in hexadecimal code, basically. And I was struggling with a very, very difficult problem. And I struggled and struggled with this stupid thing. And I approached it from every way I could. And I couldn't get that thing fixed. And I had to. There was a huge amount of pressure on me to get this thing fixed. And I said, God, I'm coming out to that car at my lunch hour. And I'm going to sit there and pray. And I have got to have some help. And there was a deadline, everything. And I sat in the car and I was kind of frustrated at my inability to fix this problem. And I'd tried all kinds of solutions. And I sat there and just said, God, I just can't do it. I really need your help. This is what we're talking about last night with grace. And then I just sat there and rested. And I'll be honest, I think I was a little teary-eyed because I was so frustrated. And suddenly I just knew. I knew a solution. And then I began to ponder. He didn't speak. I didn't hear his voice. I just knew. It was a knowing. I just knew. And sometimes that is the voice of the Lord. I remember it was a little odd, but one time I was sitting in the bathtub, sitting in the hot bathtub and just resting. And rest is where you hear the Lord the best. When you're not pressing or striving, but when you're at rest, because your mind isn't in the way. And all of a sudden, I knew, it seemed like I knew 100 things at once I didn't know before. It was like, instead of a word of knowledge, it was like 100 at once. And I said, Lord, I was stunned. It was amazing. I was like, I want to move in that all the time. I still don't yet, but it was pretty thrilling. But God has a lot for us. Okay, then one of the best things that ever happened to me was as I began to press in, because I needed God. I needed His voice. I needed Him to teach me and help me understand the things I was reading in the Word. And God began to teach me more at length. And what He had me do was go on long walks and stroll. And we'll get into this later. But what happens is, you know, I would come home from work, and sometimes if you've had a busy day and there's a lot of stuff happening, if you're in a lot of things, your mind is going. You know, your mind is racing. Well, one thing that happens is, it almost seems to me as though you can hear from your mind or your spirit, but not both at the same time. Seems like to me. I'm just telling you what has helped me. And what I found that if my mind was racing or stressing or thinking about 40 things, I couldn't hear from God. I couldn't, because my mind was going. And so I would lay on this hard tile floor on purpose so I wouldn't go to sleep. And I learned how to listen to God. I learned how, and this is not going to happen if you're still at the place where you're getting your first words and visions. That's fine, but some of you already have words and visions, and God's taking you to the next place. But it got to the place where He would just teach me 20-minute messages, and He'd teach me about the Bible. It was thrilling. And I'm ahead of my slides, but who cares? I was laying on the breezeway one day, and I was used to hearing Him by this point. I was used to hearing from Him. And you notice that prophecy that I gave, that was quite long. But do you understand that the Lord will talk to you that way 24/7? See, I used to think that God one day decides, I'm going to speak to my people. But that's not true at all. God would talk to you. If you listen, if you train yourself to listen and you tune in, God is talking all the time. He has so much to tell us. He's the most brilliant teacher. He has all wisdom, knowledge, and he desires for his people to have it. And it was shocking to me. And he said to me one time, he said, if you went to have coffee with somebody and you said, well, hey, how are you doing? How you been? How's your family? He said, that's how people see me. They think I only talk once in a while when I get in the mood. So I'm not like that. You ask me a question, I'm going to talk to you. But the issue is, again, it's not that he's not talking, it's that we haven't learned how to hear him. Well, anyway, this one night I'm laying on the breezeway floor and couldn't hear him. It's like I had a mental block. I said, Lord, how come I'm not hearing your voice? And he said, there's one or two things that'll block you. He said, one is, you're either afraid that I'm going to tell you something you don't want to hear, or you're afraid that I won't say anything at all and you'll be disappointed. And that was the one that it was for me that day. I was like, oh, that's it. I was afraid he wouldn't talk. And I was used to hearing him and everything, but I was afraid of the disappointment and hurt if we didn't commune. And that was the last time in my life I ever had trouble hearing his voice. Because I eliminated that barrier. Sometimes there's a fear that God won't or doesn't want to. And, you know, once I got rid of that, I never had an issue again. So I spent some years in that mode. And God began to talk to me about a thing he called stand and deliver. I was already preaching at this point. I was probably not doing it great, but I was doing it. And I would agonize over the messages. I would, you know, fast and pray, and I'd search the scriptures. I'd come up with a message. And this is probably what a lot of people do. And they were good messages, and people said they were blessed. But God got me aside one day, and he said, I want you to stand and deliver. And I said, well, what do you mean, God? And he said, I want you to not prepare. I want you to stand and preach and say whatever I give you to say. And he said, the way you're going to learn this is in the place of prayer. When I tell you something, you say it. I don't care what it is. I said, you mean out loud? He said, yeah, say it out loud. See, it's just me and you, God. Just us in this room. Yep, say it out loud. He said, what I want you to do is, and this, I don't know if this is for everybody, but this is for preachers. This is helpful for preachers. He said, what I want you to do is get so good at saying what I say that you can do it anytime, any place, anywhere in front of anybody so that you can speak to a gang on the street or the President of the United States because you're so used to, I say it to you, you open your mouth and you repeat it. So literally, many times when I'm preaching, it's one of two things. Either it's like a line feed where he's speaking and I'm speaking, or he'll remind me of a story I got to tell. And that's basically how I preach. And when I noticed, when the minute I changed to doing that, because I was doing it in the prayer closet a long time before I was doing it on the platform. It's much easier to do things at home than it is in front of people when you first grow it. And so when I started to do it on the platform, started to do it, you know, up at Crystal Lake is where I learned this. And I noticed immediately after the meeting, instead of people saying, thanks, that was great, people came up and said, I just asked God that question last night. I just asked him that on the way. We were just talking about that in the car. And what he was doing, I learned over time, what he was doing was answering the questions that the people were asking. They're seeking him. He's answering them. See, because he, a lot of times, he wants to use your mouth to help them because some people can't hear. I used to wonder, you know, these word of knowledge guys that come to town and they pick everybody in the room but me. I mean, they'd prophesy to every single person in the room but me, and I'd be like, what am I, chopped liver? I remember I'd stand in the back of the room saying, what's the deal? You know, okay, yeah. God said, Holly, I talk to you all the time. These people need to hear my voice. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember now. Okay, eventually you may experience trances, and I'm not getting weird on you. Peter had a trance. And a trance is not to me, it's not a deep mystical thing. It's not weird. It's not a cult. Peter went into a trance on the roof, remember, when he had his vision. The vision that caused the covenant to be open to the Gentiles. And if not for that vision, I wouldn't have got to be saved or be in the covenant. Amen. Thank God Peter went into trance. Well, a trance, sometimes not. Other people may have experienced trances where they're so far gone, and I've had some things like that, but sometimes a trance can be, I call it praying yourself into a stupor. Where you just pray and pray and pray, and you finally just get into a place where you're, for me, it's like you're not asleep and you're not awake. You're somewhere in the middle. And I love that place because in that place, you're with the Holy Spirit. You're with the Lord. And He'll impart things to you. With you're no longer talking, He's not talking. There's just an exchange that's going on. And I think that's what it means, living in Him. In Him we live and move and have our being. I think that's what He's referring to. There's a place where you can actually experience the true presence of God, not just like a dribble, but you're actually in it. And in that place, a lot of times, you'll find that you're just delivered and set free of stuff, and you don't even realize it's happening. Or He'll change your mind or help you to see something more clearly. Many times I'll get revelation of the Scripture. Most of the revelation I get from the Scripture is actually when He's either teaching me and I've got the book closed. You know, I read it and I go, amen, that's wonderful, hallelujah, I love the Bible. But when I learn the most is either when He's talking to me about it and He'll tell me Scripture again, Scripture, He'll preach to me, kind of, hallelujah. Or in that place, I'll go into a place where there's no talking, and it's just like you're in Him, and you come out and you just know something you didn't know before, and you read the Bible and you go, oh, it was there all the time, I just didn't understand it until I lived it. And it's really exciting. You'll come into a place of heavenly experiences and heavenly dreams. Many times in your dreams, God will actually, especially people who struggle going into the Spirit, a lot of times they will start with heavenly dreams, because when you're sleeping, you're not fighting, you know, you're not putting up those barriers. You're able to just go. A lot of times God will take you. And sometimes people say, well, I don't know if I was awake or asleep. It's because they were having a heavenly experience. I know people who don't hear from God during the day, but at night they'll have, I'm talking just like panoramic, epic visions of, you know, long drawn out battles and stories and sagas, and it's really exciting. You know, but you can, as you, the thing is, you're not pressing into the experience, you're pressing into Him. If you press into just an experience, sometimes you can open yourself for deception. But as you press into Him over the course of time, as you grow in the Spirit, as you grow from, you know, baby to kindergarten first, up into junior high, you know, as you grow and grow and grow, and by the way, there is no limit. There is no, I got there now. No matter how much you learn, this is what God told me, I don't care how much I show you, I don't care how much revelation you get, there's so much more, I'm infinite, you don't know squat. We haven't begun to tap into what God has. We haven't begun to. Okay, now I really hesitated putting this out there. I mean, because I thought, they're going to throw me out of the body of Christ. But the truth of the matter is, I have had experiences, and they've been the most wonderful times of my life, where I'm in a state of rest, almost like it could be a trance, I don't know. But it's as though Jesus' head and my head begin to merge, and I'm allowed to think His thoughts. And it is truly the most delightful. It is so delightful. I've had experiences where I've been allowed to step into Him. Now, this is in the Spirit. It's not like Edgar. He has open visions. He's actually seen Jesus. He's had Jesus come in his room where he could see Him. I've not had that with my eyes, but I've seen Him in the Spirit. There's a difference, okay? And it's probably because of the calling that He has. Everybody sees differently. I know other people who get word of knowledge totally different manner than I do, and you'll probably hear it different than I do, and that's okay. It's about your relationship. What is important is to make sure it's accurate and it lines up with the Word of God. So anyway, merging is one of the most lovely, fragrant, wonderful, loving experiences, because as you have that, you become changed. You just are changed when it happens. You come out of there and you're just, I don't care what's going on in your life, you're just like, I don't care.
Would that be like becoming one?
It seems to me like you, at that moment, you are becoming one. And for me, I believe that the Lord desires more and more for us to come into Him and receive Him. It's like that taste and see that the Lord is good. You're not just reading about it. You're not just getting the information, but you are, in a sense, becoming one with Him and getting to actually use or feel the mind of Christ and the heart of Christ. It's so delightful. There's no words for it. And again, I fought putting that on the slide because, you know, I figured some people are just going to say, you are just nuts. But it's just the truth, and I felt like He wanted me to talk about it. It all happens in the place of prayer. This process, all these steps, That may not happen in that order for you. I'm just talking about some things that happened to me. But these happen over the years or months of a disciple's life, depending, frankly, on how much you pressed into him. How hungry are you? How much you spend time with him? That'll make a difference for how quickly you grow. Reading the Word. The number one way to hear the voice of the Lord is always the Word. It's the best way and the most sure foundation. It is the most infallible way you'll ever hear from God as He quickens Scriptures to you. Some people like to journal as God will speak into their spirit. They like to journal. I don't like to. It makes my hand tired. I finally got a little recorder and just started taping, and then I finally quit doing that. But as I was learning, that was very helpful. Now, you're going to think I'm nuts, but I just don't care. I have a little recorder. It's not like this one I'm using. It was actually one of those little miniature tape things. When I was learning how to talk to God, I'd sit in the backyard and I'd ask him a question, and then he'd prophetically answer me, but I would speak that. Then I'd ask him a question, he'd answer me. Now, I know this is nervy for me to tell you this, because I don't tell people my stuff. Later on, when I would listen to the tape, you could feel the presence of God when he talked. And when I was talking, you didn't feel it. It would be like question, whoa, question. And I would save those tapes and I'd listen to them 6 months and a year later, and it would be astounding to me how many things. See, because what happens is when you're prophesying, I don't care if anybody's in the room or not, when you speak what God is saying, you are actually releasing it to come to pass. Many times when I preach or speak prophetically, after I do, all kinds of things come to pass because God was releasing it in the earth. A lot of the problems you have, if you spend time learning how to speak what he's saying from the heavenlies, I'm telling you, a lot of your problems will disappear. Now, I have to say this. He's quickening me to say this. There are some things he will tell you that you'll have a sense, don't say it out loud. My opinion, and I don't know this for sure, but my opinion is that there's enemy forces around that he doesn't want to hear it yet. He doesn't want them to know. I don't know that, though. That's just what I think. There's times when he'll tell you, you know, don't share it, don't talk about it. Even when you're alone, just don't say it. You see, our voice, what we speak, is incredibly powerful. All the power in the realm of the Spirit, you know, we think of power being done by muscles or machines. We think of strength that way. In the Spirit, it's all by Word. It's by what is spoken by the Spirit. That's how God's power works. He spoke and there was. And that's the way it works here in the realm of the Spirit, and that's how it affects the natural. When Jesus spoke to the fig tree, done. Why? Because God spoke. When God speaks, it is. And therefore, if you come into such a place in relationship where you're being led by the Spirit to speak and it's accurate, meaning it's him and not you, then it is. It happens. Amen? You'll begin to get dreams. You can ask God to speak to you through dreams. I went to a dream seminar and I thought, you know, is this for real or what? At the end of the thing, he had us pray a simple prayer, Lord, speak to me through dreams. And I started having dreams and dreams and dreams and dreams and dreams and dreams. I couldn't even write them all down. There was so many. But it was delightful because God began to speak of things to come, show me things to come. Sometimes he would show me warning dreams of things I needed to pray through so they don't happen, right? If you have a warning dream, it doesn't mean it's going to happen. It doesn't mean it has to happen. You're not supposed to get in fear. God is telling you how to intercede. And what he's doing is letting you know how to prevent that so it does not happen. And I learned that the hard way, because the first time I didn't pray it through and it happened. And it was a bummer for a long time. After that, I took my dreams very seriously. And if he gave me a warning, I began to take it serious and pray on it every day until I got a release that it was done. And I began to see that when I would do that, he would take care of it. Sometimes, I just got to say it, I want to blow on, but he's not letting me. Sometimes he'll give you a warning dream, and you pray on it. Maybe a few months goes by. He'll always give you time, by the way. Doesn't mean it's going to happen tomorrow. A lot of times he'll give you enough time, sometimes a year. First one I had a good year and a half to pray it through. Didn't do it because I didn't know these concepts, didn't know. Sometimes he'll give you a warning dream. You pray somewhat, and then you have a dream that's like an adjusted dream. Do you ever have that? And you're like, well, it was the same dream, but it changed a little. Well, what happened? You prayed into it. He's now showing you, here's where you're at now, and this is what you've got to do to pray it through. And it's very important, because as you pray these things through, it happens. Okay. Seeing or visions, you'll begin to walk in that. And a lot of times visions, again, are a word of knowledge. I already talked about this, listening at length to the Lord. It is a form of worship. I remember I used to drive all the way up to, I lived in Naperville, and I drove to Waukegan every day. So I had a good, at minimum, of 2 hours in the car. And so I would spend a lot of time praying and listening to tapes and stuff. And this one day I remember I got in the car and I was on the tri-state. And I said, well, Lord, what do you want to do? Do you want to, you want me to listen to a tape? Do you want me to pray in the spirit? What do you want to do? He said, I want you to listen. He meant to him. And I said, well, okay. And I was kind of like, are you sure? I wasn't realizing how important. Well, Mr. Bailey wasn't here when we said turn cell phone. It's a jitterbug. He usually starts dancing when the jitterbug goes on. Okay, so I'm in the car and I said, Lord, really, you want me to just listen? And he said, did you know that listening is a form of worship? I said, no, I didn't realize that. He said, because when you listen to me, what you're saying is that what I have to say to you is more important than what you have to say to me. You know, we talk and talk and talk in prayer. Especially when we have a problem, we rant on and on about it, blah, 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 blah. And then we hang up the phone. That's like calling. I used to have a friend like that. She'd call and blab for an hour, never even say, how are you? Did I catch you at a bad time? Yes, you did. Thank you. You know, I mean, that's how we are to God. We're so rude. Hallelujah. And I talked about this. Eventually, that can grow into an endless flow. And God told me to tell you, yes, this is for every believer. See, people used to look at, me or Edgar or somebody like they're special. Or that's just your calling. You have a special relationship. Everyone can have a special relationship with God. Everyone can grow into this. And God wants everyone to know that. And I said word and song here because there's always a song in the Spirit. I came home from a music event one night and I heard the heavenly orchestra. I mean, full orchestra is the most beautiful music I'd ever heard in my life. From that day on, any time of day or night, I could step in the Spirit and hear a song, a beautiful song, just any time. There's always a song. And see, here again, it's that concept that we think it's once in a while, it's going to be this event. There is stuff, I'm telling you, there's a concept in the prophetic where you can step in any time and hear what God is doing, hear what's going on. That's how I believe how the prophets of old worked. There's some people that call it the Naba flow, and the way some people who are truly, truly like office of a prophet, the way they describe it is like an artesian well that it's always bubbling, it never stops. But when they're ready to prophesy, like when there's a meeting, they take a rock off the top and then they prophesy, 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 and then they put the rock back. Because if the flow is always there, it's just that they're prepared to step into it and step back out when it's time. See, and that's a different concept than God suddenly showing up. Now, there are times when He'll do a special word, like a special event. But He wants you to know that that God is moving all the time in the Spirit. There's always a flow. Some of you have heard me talk about the vision God gave me of a man standing in the forest saying, oh God, I want your anointing. Oh God, give me your anointing. Oh God, and he's begging God for the anointing, not realizing, first of all, God has already given it to him. And about 50 yards away, there's this flowing river, this rushing river that's flowing all the time. And the Holy Ghost is going, come on over here. Come on over here, get in the river, learn how to swim, learn how to get in the water. It's here, you've got it. You just have to get in. Okay, now some people, I don't want to make people feel bad or unspiritual. If you're a person that's not prone to spiritual things, or maybe it's just never been your desire, or maybe you're afraid of it. I used to be in a church where they preached against this kind of stuff. Thought you were nuts if you did this. What if I don't see? What if I don't hear? You are every bit as saved, loved, accepted, and spiritual. Spirituality is not based on these experiences or gifts. It is based on your love for God, your faithfulness to Him, and your love for the body. The reason I love to hang out with the Holy Ghost is that these experiences have helped me grow and know Him better, and they've helped me to be more fruitful. I couldn't do anything that I now do. I couldn't do one bit of it except that I had come into a relationship. Many profoundly deep saints never see or hear. They never. Jonathan Edwards was one of the deepest guys. I love that guy. Wonderful man of God, spent about 16 hours a day in the Word of God. And he was the guy that preached that sermon. Yeah, sinners in the hands of an angry God. And it was as though the floor opened up and people saw the fires of hell and people were clutching the pillars to keep from falling into hell. And yet he didn't have a lot of, he wasn't, to my knowledge, he didn't have a lot of deep experiences. But it didn't make him any less spiritual or any less used. He was profoundly used.
I just heard this morning somebody was talking about that. He had been fasting for 3 days and he stopped the fast. He was in water or food. He stopped the fast 2 hours before what he said he would give me and felt so guilty. But he didn't even want to preach that night. He broke his thing out and they said he spoke it in a monotone voice because he was so convicted.
And isn't that just like God? God doesn't, God, you know, see, that's the measuring stick. We have this measuring stick. We measure against ourselves and we see our failure. But God is trying to get us to a place of faith where we trust in Him to do it because we know we're not worthy. So we're to be mentored in these things by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you have no need that any man should teach you. It's the Holy Ghost. You have Him. If you are alone on a desert island, you can be mentored by Him through relationship. Ask Him the questions of your heart. John 14, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Again, John 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You can learn His ways from Him directly. There's no need to hang on man who might be wrong. And often is. Well-meaning people, I know of well-meaning ministers. One guy I heard within a week, one guy said, I've been studying this for 25 years and this is the way it is. Within a couple of days, there's another guy, he said, I've been studying this, and they were talking about a specific subject. I've been studying this for 30 years and this is the way it is, and they were opposite. Studying the same Bible, good men of God, good hearts, studying fervently with a completely different view. Uh-oh. So, me, I like to say, Lord, what do you say about this? You show me what you say. Use your word. Help me to get it from your word. You show me what you feel about this, because otherwise, it's their opinion. So whenever two teachings of man make sense and yet are different, ask God for His view and for Him to give it to you from the word and to talk to you at length. I mean, over a process of days. If I don't understand something, I keep after Him. I keep asking, because I know if I bug Him, He'll tell me. I'll bug, because He knows I'll bug Him till He does. Keep asking. Keep on asking.
Amen.
And that's what that verb, when it says ask and you shall receive, it means ask and keep on asking. Every day, God, you got to show me this. I don't get it. And He will. In this type of relationship, you can have comfort from Him when you're hurting. Mm-hmm. Truth. When you're confused or hurt, or when you don't understand things in life. There's been times when I felt hurt or confused by situations, and God would say one sentence to me, and it showed me the truth from His perspective, and it completely flipped my perspective of the situation around, where I realized what's happening isn't a bad thing, it's a good thing. Peace, you can have peace in the middle of a storm. You can have wisdom from on high. Walk in trust when things in the natural are going wrong. Trust and know that He will do what is right, and He will show you what to do that is right. Frustration becomes peace. Fretting becomes faith. Worry becomes rest. Rest is the single most important thing. And I don't mean like physical rest.